biblical encouragement for women of all ages. We are in our last episode of the Navigating Modern Christianity series, and this episode is called Making Jesus Your North Star. As I was thinking and praying about the most important takeaway from this entire series, it's really wrapped up and summed up in this message that we're going to be talking about today. Before we jump in, just a couple quick reminders. Space is filling quickly for our 2024 Set Apart conference that's happening June 7th through 9th at our Ellerslie campus in Colorado, or you can tune in anywhere via simulcast. If you're planning on joining us in Colorado, be sure to register soon because we only have a few limited spaces left. We would love to see you this year, and I'm so excited about this year's theme, which is all about experiencing the extraordinary reality of Jesus. Also, you can still register for our week-long or one of our five-week training programs at Ellerslie. And again, it's just an amazing time of sitting at the feet of Jesus and becoming immersed in truth and connecting with like-minded Christians from all around the world. Ellerslie is really for every age and every season of life. So if you're interested in learning more about joining us in Colorado in 2024, just click the links in this podcast description, or you can go to setapart.org and click on the conference tab or the events tab, or you can go to ellerslie.com and click on overview of programs, and that will give you all the information that you need. So let's talk about what it means to make Jesus your North Star. There's something that we do at Ellerslie that's really been going on for the past 14 years, and we call it the Ellerslie Experiment. In modern Christianity, there is such a propensity toward getting caught up in pet doctrines and side issues and dividing with the body of Christ over peripheral things and just getting our focus off of Jesus Christ as the centerpiece. Colossians 1:8 says that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that means Jesus always needs to have first place in our focus. So the Ellerslie experiment really grew out of Eric and I traveling and being in so many different churches and seeing so many people really pushing the rest of the body of Christ away based on side doctrinal issues or pet issues or peripheral things. And when we started Ellerslie, our discipleship training program, it was really our heart and desire to draw the body of Christ together, even if they all came from very different backgrounds, very different denominations, really coming together around that central focus on Jesus Christ. We wanted to know, we wanted to experiment what would happen if men and women from all ages, walks of life, background, church background, came together and made Jesus Christ our central focus. It's been so extraordinary to see the result because we've just sort of refused to let Ellerslie become a place of division, even though people are coming from so many different backgrounds and belief systems under the banner of Christianity. But there's such the gamut in Christianity of people who grew up very conservative or very legalistic or very sort of liberal, emergent, and just everything in between. And yet we wanted to know if we all focus on Jesus Christ and we make that our North Star, the thing that we're all fixed upon, what would that do to the relationships within the body? And I would say over the past 14 years, we have seen amazing unity, people rallying around their passion for Jesus Christ, which is really what the gospel is all about. When my husband Eric was a young Christian, he really desired for fathers of the faith, these godly men that had gone before him that could pour truth into his life. And I remember the first year we were married, he found a group of older godly men in a church that he was really excited to learn from. And he would go to their weekly meetings and he was so eager and ready for them to just pour truth into him and encourage him and challenge him in different areas. And it was very disappointing because as he went to these meetings, all he found were men bickering over doctrinal issues. And they were so demeaning towards people who didn't agree with them. They would badmouth other Christians who didn't maybe see things the same way they did in these certain doctrinal issues. And they spent the whole meeting just debating over doctrine. And there was no passion for Jesus Christ. There was no worship of Jesus Christ. There was no rallying around the core issues of the gospel. And it really just was disappointing to this young man in his 20s who was just hungry for men who had gone before him. And that really, I think, was where that vision for the Ellerslie experiment came from, way back in that infantile state when he was a young man thinking, there has to be more to the body of Christ gathering than just bickering, debating over doctrinal issues. And so over the past 20 25, almost 30 years now, as we've interacted with Christians from all denominations, we've seen so many well-meaning Christians get off track and divide over issues that are not central to the gospel. And that came from not making Jesus Christ their North Star. And so really, it's been exciting to see the past 14 or 15 years at Ellerslie, Christians who are very, very different, who probably would not agree on every doctrinal issue, just having such love and unity because their focus is on Jesus Christ. As we have chosen at Ellerslie to make Jesus Christ our primary focus, so many of those confusions and doctrinal debates and those things that can divide the body have just melted into the background. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about doctrine or that people don't have their convictions that might be different than other people. It just means that Jesus Christ is our North Star. And what is a North Star? It's really an immovable fixed point that keeps us headed in the right direction. One of the enemy's most subtle tactics is getting us to look away from Jesus and onto other things that are good and right, but they're not actually the first thing. They're not actually Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Psalm 34:5 says, "They looked to Him," meaning Jesus, "and were radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame." When our gaze is on Jesus and Jesus alone, our faces are filled with joy. We are radiant. We are not covered with shame. We are not cast down because our focus is in the right place. And as I said, keeping Him as our North Star is just fixing our eyes upon Him, setting our faces like flint toward Him. And so when the enemy tries to get us to look away from Christ and onto other things, a lot of times it's not things that are obviously bad. Sometimes they're things that are very good, but they start replacing Jesus as our North Star, our enthusiasm for these side issues or the peripheral issues that maybe really resonate with us, just easily our enthusiasm for those things replaces our enthusiasm for Jesus. So it might be conservatism and being like very politically conservative. I know a lot of Christians who equate conservative politics with the gospel. And even though there's so much strength and good things in conservative thinking, is actually not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those two things are not interchangeable. Or maybe homeschooling, which again is another very good thing and is such a just an amazing tool that we have in discipling our children. We homeschool our kids, but I've seen a lot of Christians become militaristic about homeschooling where that almost replaces the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's purity, and really it could be like a moral code of conduct, a list of legalistic rules. It could be your convictions about modesty, or it could even be things like open and authentic relationships and friendships within the body of Christ. That's a really trendy concept in the church today. And sometimes our enthusiasm for things like that replaces our enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. Or it could be interesting doctrinal issues like the ologies. So there's eschatology, which is a study of what is to come, the ending. Now, eschatology should be a study of a person, Jesus Christ, the Almighty, which is to come. As it says in Scripture, here are a lot of scriptures blended together about this, the Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come, the upholder of all things, the Father of eternity, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the author and finisher of our faith, our keeper. And all of those things talk about how Jesus is actually the study of what is to come. But so often eschatology becomes a study of the when and the how of how the end of the world might happen, how the end times might happen. And then people start getting into debates and divisions over eschatology. Or soteriology, which is a study of salvation. Now again, the study of salvation should be a study of the person of Jesus Christ, who is the man of salvation. This is a very quick glimpse in Scripture of who Jesus is. He's the Savior of the world, a Savior which is Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the way. He's the door of the sheep. He's the builder. He's the foundation. He's a sure foundation. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. He's a horn of salvation. He's the author and finisher of faith. He's our redemption. He's the strength of the children of Israel. He's a strength to the needy in distress. He's a refuge from the storm, a covert from the tempest, the hope of thy people, the Lamb of God, a lamb without blemish and without spot, the lamb that was slain, the lamb in the midst of the throne. And the list goes on and on and on about how Jesus is our salvation. But so often a study of this ology becomes a huge topic of debate within the body, which leads to arguments and division and spiritual pride as far as how people come to that place of salvation. Instead of studying the person, the man of salvation, we study the how and the why and the process, and it becomes a division point. There's another ology called Sabbatology, which is a study of the Sabbath and the particular day of honoring God's rest. Even the Sabbath should be a study of a person. Jesus Christ, the rest of God. It says in Luke 6:5 that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, or that he's the rest in Hebrews 4:9. He's God's rest in Hebrews 4:10. He's that rest, Hebrews 4:11, and he's the resting place in Jeremiah 50:6. So again, Jesus is the study of the Sabbath, but all too often this becomes a division point about arguing about a specific day of the week rather than remembering that all truth must point back to Jesus Christ and be centered around him. I've also seen Christians get caught up in things like Jewish roots. Instead of focusing on Jesus Christ, they start to focus on blending in Jewish tradition to Christianity and getting frustrated with people who don't put that same kind of emphasis on Jewish roots as Christians. Again, it's a division point within the body. There's some truths in there. There's some healthy things in there. But at the same time, it becomes what they fixate upon, and Jesus is no longer their North Star. 1 Timothy 4:6 paints a picture of what we so often see in the church when this happens. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. For some reason, we have a huge propensity towards pet doctrines. Some of them may be fine, some of them may be good, and some of them may even be right, but again, they're not the first thing, the primary thing that our gaze should be fixed upon. Jesus is the most basic tool for rightly handling the word. Everything in Scripture pertains to Jesus Christ. He is the key that unlocks the mystery of the Bible. And that's one of the things we teach at Ellerslie. And one of the things I would say is the most profound when people come here and sit through the sessions is understanding how every single thing in Scripture points to Jesus Christ, how it all ties together and it all centers around him. It says in John 5:39 through 40, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you may have life." In Luke 24:45, he says, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." And then in Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the Scriptures all things concerning himself." And then in John 5:46, "For had you believed Moses," Jesus said, "you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." You know, it's really interesting to hear and to focus on those words of Jesus, because we so often categorize like, okay, well, this is the Old Testament. This is where we had the law. And then Jesus came and the two seem very separate, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yet everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. And even Jesus himself said that. There is a strange magnetic pull away from center, away from Jesus Christ, and we can't be duped by it, because that is what is leading to confusion and controversy and division and getting our gaze off the North Star. It says in Romans 1:23, "They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator." And then in Colossians, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the word, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And again, in Colossians, it says, let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And one more, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, who is Jesus, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. The Bible is replete with scriptures that make it so obvious that Jesus needs to be our North Star, and guarding that gaze on that North Star is something we have to be very proactive in protecting. So I want to look at three key ways that we can be sure our focus stays on Jesus Christ and he is always in the first place. He is where we have our gaze fixed, because in all of this series on navigating modern Christianity, we have talked about issues within the church and errors within the church and how to respond to people who don't believe the same as we do within the church. And yet if we make Jesus Christ our North Star, all of those questions are answered. If we keep our gaze on him, that is the making of a healthy Christian and the healthy body of Christ and a healthy church. So the first principle is to choose truth over trends. It is easy to get caught up with every wind and wave of doctrine that floats around in Christianity today. But the truth of God's word, the person of Jesus Christ, these are the things that are unchanging and immovable. In James 1:17, God is called the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything else that is not centered in him is like a flash in the pan. It's temporal. It may seem cool and exciting and trendy when it first hits the Christian bookstore or hits the internet, but if it's not centered solely upon Jesus Christ, it doesn't actually have value. It's not worth our enthusiasm and our focus and our attention. And I've said in other episodes, a lot of times we get so caught up in the trends of Christianity because we're not satisfied in Christ. And the reason we're not satisfied in Christ is because we don't know who he is. If we were to take some time and study who he really is and immerse ourselves in the person of Jesus Christ, if you even just study the names of Jesus from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, you realize there is always more to discover. And every single aspect that we see in scripture that communicate an aspect of who Jesus is, he wants to reveal himself to us in that specific way in an area of our life, in every area of our life. And so it's really exciting to realize that the study of Christ or the focus on Christ is not supposed to be stagnant or boring. There's constantly more to discover. It's like an endless frontier. So when you're looking at popular books and blogs and music and messages, are they based entirely upon the person of Jesus Christ? Or do they have trendy but temporal concepts woven in? And a lot of times there will be truth in there, but a lot of times they will have these fleshly, human, trendy ideas that diminish that focus on Jesus Christ. One of the reasons that these Christian trends develop, I think, is sometimes we see error or lack in the modern church. And a lot of the modern trends that we see are human solutions to those gaps. Rather than going to the Word of God and saying, where is the lack? How can the Word of God solve the lack that we're seeing here in the body of Christ? Because if there is a lack in the church, if there's a lack in the way we're living out our Christianity, the answer is not a human solution. The answer is to go back to the Word of God and say, okay, what are we missing? Where we need to fill in the gap with God's truth, his unchanging truth. I remember being at a Christian banquet once, and I probably told this story before. There was a specific speaker there who was a Christian author. He was very well known, very popular. I guess you would probably call him a deconstructionist. He was breaking down the fabric of the gospel, and he was doing it so cleverly and so artistically that he deceived a lot of people. But the way he started his talk at this banquet is he started to point out the problems and the lack in modern Christianity. He said, we as Christians have a lack of power. We have a lack of victory. We have a lack of love towards others. And he was really hitting on a felt need because a lot of us in the church had noticed those things. But then his argument was that we needed to reinvent Christianity to fit in with the rapidly changing culture to make up for the lack that we were seeing in the church. And he wasn't going back to scripture and saying we need to return to the truth of scripture. He was saying, let's reinvent scripture. Let's redefine scripture in order to kind of solve these problems within the church. It was trendy. It was artistically presented. And it spoke to that felt need that his audience had. There is something missing from modern Christianity. But the solution to what's missing is Jesus Christ and him crucified. When things that are missing in modern Christianity cause us to run away from the Word of God rather than to the Word of God, cause us to pull away from Jesus Christ rather than running to him, that's when the danger comes in. So I would encourage you to be wary of getting caught up in books and messages and blogs and ideas and trends within the church that seem new and fresh and exciting, but are not 100% in agreement with the unchanging Word of God. Because remember, Jesus Christ is the Word of God in text. If we reject the Word of God, we are rejecting Jesus. The second principle is to approach God's word with humility. There are two different ways we can approach God's word. One is trying to make it fit with our ideals and our preferences, and the other is to approach it with submission and humility. If God says it, it's true, and that's the end of the discussion. A lot of times when people get caught up in pet doctrines and they get off track from making Jesus Christ their North Star, they're not approaching God's word with humility, they're approaching God's word with pride. And that's why people who are very passionate about their pet doctrines often become prideful and look down their noses on people who don't share their same convictions. They're entrenched in spiritual pride. And we've done a whole episode before on spiritual pride. But 1 Corinthians 4:7 is such a convicting scripture for any of us who may have gone in that direction, where Paul says, "For who makes you to differ from another, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" This verse is such a good reminder that any spiritual insight that we have only comes from God and from his word. It's not like we have some special handle on truth and we somehow have the right to use our knowledge of truth or doctrine to control others or to belittle others. We are all, as the scripture says, we are all dust. We are all dependent on Jesus Christ. Everything that we have comes from him. When we approach the word of God with absolute humility instead of pride, when we don't say, how do I feel about this? But we say, what does God say about this? We avoid so many modern day pitfalls. And that's when we'll succeed in keeping Jesus Christ in that position as our North Star. And the third is to become a principle of what my husband Eric calls Christ cross ologies. That's kind of a mouthful. Well, what is that? And we talked about all those ologies, and there's many others that I didn't touch on today, the ologies that people get so caught up in today. But Christ cross ology is basically this. It's the quest to intimately know Jesus Christ, to be found in him, to comprehend, understand, and infinitely behold his word, to know the power of his resurrection and know the fellowship of his suffering, to deliberately make Jesus Christ and him crucified the great centerpiece of reasoning and thought and the central doctrine and interpretive key to all life and truth. People oftentimes, especially Christians who are more bent on intellectualism, want to sort of separate from the simplicity that is in Christ and make the gospel and the way of salvation very heady and very intellectual. And of course, there's so much depth in the gospel, and yet a little child can understand the gospel. And we need to not forsake the simplicity that is in Christ just for the idea that, oh, I'm going to show my knowledge and impress others with my knowledge. Christianity is all about a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great beauty. He is the great everything. I'm just going to read a handful of scriptures that showcase who Jesus is. He's fairer than the children of men. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the bridegroom. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's a bundle of myrrh. He's a cluster of henna blooms. He's altogether lovely. He is our beloved and our friend. He is the great everything. It says he is Lord over all. He is our all in all, and he is the one that fills all in all. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the great focus and meditation and message of every believer. That's what it should be, and that's what it means to make Jesus our North Star. The focus of our faith. He's the power of God, the catalyst of our understanding. He's the wisdom of God. He's the object of our love and affection. He is the wellspring of our joy. He is the source of our peace. He is the power of God into salvation. He is the root of our every doctrine. It says in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, am the root and the offspring of David. everything is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if anyone were to ever insult you and say, you know, you only think about Jesus, that's all you ever think about. It's just about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's actually the highest compliment that anyone could ever pay us as believers. Every message is about Jesus, exalting Him, glorifying Him, increasing our faith in Him. Every message flows out of the exaltation of Him, His work, and the purchase of His work on the cross. Every discussion is about Jesus and increases our faith in His work. Every doctrine stems from the person of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus, the victory of Jesus. Everything that is not born out of this faith focus on Jesus and His great work on the cross, increasing our understanding of it, the adoration of Him, and increasing our faith in Him and in His work is off-center and is a distraction from the gospel. So if you want to know what makes a healthy church, just look at that list that I just gave you. Every message, every focus, every discussion, every doctrine flows out of the person of Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers said, "Today Jesus Christ is being dispatched as being a figurehead of a religion, a mere example. He is that, but He is infinitely more. He is salvation itself. He is the gospel of God." I don't think I've ever heard it said better than that. So if you want to know how to navigate modern Christianity, and maybe even after this series, if you're still sort of like, I just don't know my next step because there's error all around me, there's people I disagree with all around me, begin by making Jesus Christ your North Star. Fix your gaze upon Him, even as Stephen did, when all the clamor around him, the noise around him, the religious system around him stood against him, yelled at him, didn't want to hear anything he had to say, wanted to see him dead. He kept his gaze fixed upon Jesus as the North Star. And even as they were stoning him, even as they were hating him, his face was radiant, just as it says in the Psalm. I would encourage you as a practical step to begin to study who Jesus is, explore the names of God in Scripture. And one of the reasons that Ellerslie exists is to acquaint you with who Jesus Christ is. So coming to an Ellerslie program or looking at the resources that we have online is another great way to do that. Again, the Set Apart Conference this year is all about who Jesus is. So those are some ways that you can begin to fix your gaze upon Him and make Him your North Star. But even if you can't even tap into any of those resources, when you have the Word of God and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have everything you need to make Him your central focus. And if that's your only takeaway from this series, then this series has been more than worth it. If you'd like to go deeper into living a set apart life, visit us at setapart.org and look at the many resources that we have for you there. I pray you have a blessed